Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabalava Giridhara Dhari Pijanabalava Pijanabalava Gopi Janabalava Giridhara Dhari Janabalava Yashodha Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Yashodha Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giridhara Dhari Giri Bharata Gopi Chana Bhalava Giri Bharata Dhari Na Bhalava Giri Bharata Jashodha Nandana Vaja Jana Ranjana Yashodha Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Bhana Chari Yamuna Tira Bhana Chari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hava Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Shri Radha Madhava ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai Tai Gopamanandi Hari Hari Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacita Satarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Niti Namane Panchakapatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Mukkam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yakrapata Mahambande Siguru Dinatarina. Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhunitananda Shadaita Gadadhara Shivashari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So I'm honored and humbled to be speaking about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. By remembering him, by discussing his teachings and his pastimes and his character, even if we've heard these pastimes before, we are all becoming purified. And right now I'm looking at his picture, and I think many of you, when you look at his picture, will say it's very sobering. Yes, you have that experience? A very sober personality, a very controlled personality, very serious, very Krishna conscious, and when we look at his picture, we feel that. As Mukya was reading from this, Bhaktitirtha's recollection of Prabhupada being with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, I could start with a similar story. This takes place in August of 1970 in San Francisco. I don't know how many devotees were in ISKCON in August of 1970, but I would guess maybe 500. And ISKCON at that time was mostly full-time devotees. So when Prabhupada came for the Rath Yatra, devotees were coming from all the temples in California, all the temples in the West Coast, as far as I know, and many other temples. So there were maybe 300 devotees there, or 250 or something. That was the biggest assembly of devotees that I had experienced. And the temple was full, wall to wall, with brahmacharis, every single one shaved up, everyone in their shining pink polyester dhotis with that, you know, those dhotis are synthetic, so the colors shine and there's no wrinkles. And actually, it was quite a sight. And it was a storefront, so Prabhupada arrived. They opened the door and he just stood there. He didn't come in. He just stood there and took darshan of all the devotees. We didn't really know what he was doing, but he just stood at the door. Normally, you know, you'd open the door and you'd walk in, but he stood there. And then he stood there maybe for a minute or so. I can't remember exactly, maybe 1 or 2 minutes. And then he came in and he did something unusual, at least unusual, in the sense that I never saw him do it or heard about him doing it. This was his arrival. Normally, when he would arrive, if he came to the temple, he would sit down and give a speech, arrival address, right? He sat down and chanted the Guru Vashtaka prayers. Sansaradava Naralidhaloka Atranaya Karuna Gunaganatam, to that melody. And I was a young devotee, and I was wondering, why is he doing that? I've never seen it before. I don't know if he's ever done it after. And so I was just wondering, pretty much for hours of the day, I was wondering. And then it was revealed. I don't know why it was revealed. Maybe other devotees asked Prabhupada, but the temple president came down and said that when Prabhupada was at the door, the reason he stopped is he was so overwhelmed by the sight of a temple full of shaven-headed brahmacharis. And he was so happy that this movement was succeeding that he called his spiritual master to come and look. So he was at the door calling him, and then they were both looking at us. And that explains why Prabhupada was chanting the Guru Vashtaka prayers, because he was meditating on his spiritual master. When Srila Prabhupada was ever asked, can you tell us about your spiritual master? He always gave this answer, what can I say? He's a Vaikuntha man. Like, you know, what do you say about someone so great who has descended from the spiritual world? He's not an ordinary person. What can you say about him? So Prabhupada always felt that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was this extremely exalted transcendental personality, and in comparison to himself, he always felt like, I am nothing. He has saved me. That was just Prabhupada's relationship with the Bhakti Siddhanta. I have been saved by him. So on the appearance day or disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, when Prabhupada would lecture about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, aside from telling the leelas, the typical leelas we hear, the most common ones, Prabhupada would spend a good portion of the lecture describing how he was saved by Bhakti Siddhanta, how he met him, how he got the order to preach, and his greatness in relationship to making Srila Prabhupada Krishna conscious. So when Prabhupada was asked about his guru, it's like, what can I say? He saved me. You know, it's like, that's kind of like everything. And for us in ISKCON, the position of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our relationship with him, is a little different than in Gaudiya Math because he's the founder of Acharya Gaudiya Math. He's not the founder of Acharya of ISKCON. But to begin this lecture, I thought it would be nice to ask any of you who would like to share, what is your appreciation of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Yes.
All right, so I actually heard that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also known as Nrisimha Guru, and I heard that one reason was because, you know, of how he would be like a lion when it came to debating with any philosophical competitors in argument. But also, I was thinking if the reason could have also been that, like, he also had some devotion towards Lord Nrisimhadev, to like having a personal deity of that personality carried around with him.
Yeah, very good. So you, what about that do you appreciate the most?
All I just wanted was to ask that question.
Yeah, well, he was initiated by his father, and he was given in the string of mantra. But Rupanuga Viruddha Pa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine. His mission was to establish the Siddhanta. His father's mission, he was just extending it, continuing it. His father's mission was to establish the validity of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And that validity had been lost because of the Sahajiya sect. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared on the scene, Vaishnavism was being represented by Sahajiyas, who were performing sinful activities in the name of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, or the name of Vaishnavism in general, so nobody took it seriously. And his job was to cultivate the intelligentsia to establish the validity and authority of Vaishnavism. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta continued that, but specifically, his mission was a little different. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was cultivating intellectuals. cultivating important people. So when you cultivate people, you wine and dine them a bit. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta did some wining and dining of government officials, but with these intellectuals, he was much different than his father. He was defeating. That was his mood, defeating. And sometimes when he would see a Mayavadi, he would run over them and grab them and shake them. It's like, why are you ascribing to this philosophy? Why are you denying the personality of Godhead? He was. So he had that fiery nature. There are several stories of debates with him during his career as an astrologer and astronomer. And these are big professors, and he's a young man, defeated all of them. And there's a funny story. In one of these debates, his intellect was so staggering that one of these scholars started passing stool and urine. He was just like so overcome that he couldn't even contain himself. And after he defeated them, someone said, let's have another debate. And he said, no, I'm finished with astrology. This is not my path. And he even had a Sanskrit teacher who he knew Sanskrit better than his teacher. And his teacher was upset about that. He learned things so quickly, his teacher would say, you can't learn that fast. And then his teacher said, you have to take time, you have to master all the divisions of Sanskrit, and then you'll be liberated. And he said, if that's the goal of learning Sanskrit, forget it. I want nothing to do with it. So he said, I studied the Vedas when I learned Sanskrit. So there's another story, which is quite interesting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, I'll get to you, yeah. I haven't forgotten you. I want to bounce off everything you say. There's another story. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was preaching, but a lot of people weren't taking him seriously because he was not initiated. So we had to find someone to initiate him. So he found a caste Goswami and took initiation. Bipina Bihari Goswami. And one time in the presence of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur paid obeisances and Bipina Bihari put his feet on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's head, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta became very, very disturbed. And he told him directly, do you not know that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a nitya siddha? How dare you put your feet on his head? He was like really, really heavy. That was his nature. And there's another story about his fire. I don't know if you've heard this. It's quite interesting and a little funny also. So he was, once he was writing, yes, not once, he writes all the time, but once upon a time, he was writing and he was next to the godown with the boga, and a monkey stole some bananas and he saw it. And he got up to chase the monkey. He knocked over his table, all the ink everywhere, ruined his writing, and he ran after the monkey. One thing you may not realize is he started his mission when he was 44 and he left the world when he was 62. So we're used to Srila Prabhupada at 70. He was 40, so he was 48 when he met Prabhupada. So he was still a young man. So he ran after the monkey to get the banana. He got the banana. And the devotee that was with him, I guess there was another devotee there with him, helping him with the writing. He said, Guru Maharaj, you know, y'all speak about renunciation. Why are you running after that monkey? And he said, that banana was meant to be offered by Radharani to Krishna, and I couldn't tolerate seeing it stolen. So he did have this fire, Nrisimha Guru, and it is said, because he was so intelligent, no one would debate him. Everyone knew they would lose. They were just afraid of him. His intelligence was off the charts. Okay, someone had an appreciation? Yes.
Yes, on this day, I often think of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati as my grandfather. Mm. And I try to take advantage of that relationship.
Oh, nice.
As Prabhupada always described, the grandfather as more merciful than the father.
Yes.
And if I may, Nanda Kumar Prabhu tells a little story where he was going to make, it was getting cold, and therefore he was going to make halava for Prabhupada. And but he thought, he got some wheat germ, and he thought, this'll even be better. I'm going to make it with wheat germ. So then he brought it into Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "What is this?" He said, "Halava is farina." And I don't know if he even tasted it, but in any case, you know, Nanda Kumar got the point that he was rejecting it, really. And so Nanda Kumar rushed into the temple at the feet of the picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and cried that I was trying to please your son. I don't know what to do. I just can't go on, you know.
Hmm.
And then Nanda Kumar heard Prabhupada's bell ring and came in and said, he saw that he had finished a bowl. He said, "Bring me more." So in that way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta intervened, or somehow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. The Parama Guru is more merciful than the Guru. Anyone else? Appreciation? Yes. Kamalini.
Thank you. Well, certainly his brilliance. He was called a walking encyclopedia. Anything that he read even 50 years previous, he would remember. And of course, his how he preached every day, and his lectures, they were at least 2 hours long, and sometimes up to 7 hours long. And no lila, just tattva.
Mm.
And he wrote every single day, and he wrote and spoke in like 5 different languages. So just, and like you mentioned in the beginning, when we see the photo, I also always perceived him as not only sober, but kind of harsh a little. Mm. But when you read Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, you can read so much about his very soft-heartedness and affection and how he took care of the devotees, the brahmacharis, in a very loving way as well.
Yes, yes. There is that side, definitely. In terms of his preaching, there's a story. When he was older, his doctor said, "Take it easy," which means don't speak so much. He gave a class for 7 hours. And his servant said, "Guru Maharaj, you've been speaking for 7 hours. Maybe you need to take rest." He said, "I've been resting for 7 hours. For me, this is resting." When he was born, he had 32 symptoms of a Mahapurusha. And the astrologer said, "I've never seen a chart like this before. This is unprecedented." And as you may know, he learned Bhagavad Gita when he was 7. So this is just these are indications of transcendental personalities. Most of us have not memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita and were, you know, 77. And he learned it at seven. And he was given, when they were excavating a property in Calcutta, Bhakti Bhavan, where they were going to build a house, Bhaktivinoda Thakur found a Korma Shila. And he gave it to the seven-year-old boy and said, "You worship this Shila," which is unusual, right? And so he showed such erudite scholarship that that's why no one would want to debate with him. And as you said, everything he read, he remembered. And he spent his youth, when he was in school, he spent most of his time in the library, not in the classes. And it's kind of funny, but sometimes he would invite professors, like Western British professors, to hear him. And he would use words even they didn't understand. So it's like, if you want to hear him speak, bring your dictionary. So extremely learned. That's what he spent his youth doing, studying. Yes, anyone else? Yes, Maharaj. Yeah, wait.
I think one thing kind of really hits home for us in ISKCON, founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, in, we can say almost in a mystical way, he was able to know who our Srila Prabhupada was. Even when they first met, was it 1922? Is this
yes, one? 22.
And he immediately foresaw that Srila Prabhupada would be able to spread Krishna consciousness in the Western countries and instructed him accordingly. And he also, when God Brothers was saying, this Abhay Babu, he speaks very well. Why don't we just bring him more into our fold, and you know, he could do more service for Gaudiya Math. And if I remember correctly, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, you could correct me if I'm wrong with this, he said, "You just let him alone. He'll do more than all of you put together."
I think it was, "He'll do in course of time. Don't worry."
Yeah, he'll do. He'll do a lot.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it.
So it's one of the appreciation is how our Srila Prabhupada was recognized way ahead, way in advance, you can say, before it all unfolded.
You know, there's another story similar, told by, I believe it was a God brother. The question of how will Mahaprabhu's prediction, Yata Nagari Gram, Pachorna, my name will be preached in every town. Is that, you know, they couldn't understand that. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, "It will be done." And this devotee who was sitting near Prabhupada or next to Prabhupada or in front or behind said, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was looking at Prabhupada when he said that. "Don't worry, it will be done." And at that point, he was looking at Prabhupada. So that was another example. And then, I think to add to that, of course, the first meeting, okay, go preach to the West. And then again, when, right, like 2 weeks before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta left the world, Prabhupada wrote him and said, "How can I serve you?" Again, the same order, go to the West, like you're the one to do this. And then again, as a grihastha coming and telling him to take sannyas. So at least, maybe there's more, but at least four times he's getting that instruction, which adds to your point, like, okay, you know, it's time to do it. And the blessings Prabhupada got at Radha Damodar Temple from Rupa Goswami to go out. And I think also that statement of Chanakya Pandit, just one moon, you just need one moon, you know. The spiritual master can be satisfied that I have a disciple who can carry on my message. There's another thing which is really interesting. And in Prabhupada's lectures about Bhaktisiddhanta, when he tells the whole story, it's kind of autobiographical. He's telling the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta in the context of his own biography, and then eventually his coming to the West. And the whole time, Prabhupada is giving credit to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta for everything he did. And for us, it's like, I don't know if we hear it, but what Prabhupada said, you may remember, I'm not educated, I have no qualification, I'm not special. And we of course, as disciples, think, no, you're a scholar, you are special, you're aristocratic. And Prabhupada is, no, I am none of these things. But I did it. And then Prabhupada takes that to the next level. He said, I am not qualified. I did 10 times what my Guru Maharaj did. And he said, and you, intelligent Americans, you should do 20 times. Or it's expected you would do 20 times what I did. So the conclusion of those lectures on his Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance and disappearance day, it always came to this point of, look what I did, and I'm not even qualified. I just had faith in the in his order. You also can do the same, and you should do the same, and you can do more than I. And all those lectures ended up like we've all been appointed to do 20 times more. Yeah, and so the grand disciples now at 40 times more. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Yes.
Another side of Bhaktisiddhanta. He was so creative in his preaching to the common man that he created these amazing displays and he had wrestlers, he had sword fighters, he had these dioramas that went all, and just because he understood that the common man is not on his level or even interested so much in reading, but just by seeing, they could become purified. So
I knew you were going to say that. You had to say dioramas. Yeah, that's your seva. What's given, that seva was given to you by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because, as you say, Prabhupada obviously noted the importance of diorama exhibits in the preaching of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, because they would go everywhere and have big, kind of like festivals, as far as I understand. And he followed that line of thought. Otherwise, you know, I don't know what you thought, but when I first heard about dioramas, like, huh? Dolls? Huh? What? What are we doing? And Prabhupada saying, no, very central and very important. And kind of like what you're saying, he was not your typical sadhu. So he was the first, at least in that era, renunciation was always Babaji wearing white, and he wanted nothing to do with the Babajis. They had such a bad reputation. So he instituted a different kind of sannyas. And he showed up in Vrindavan in a car at a time when cars, you know, that'd be like showing up in a helicopter now or something, or your private jet, you know. It was like, that was considered... sadhus walked barefoot, and he showed up in a car. Sometimes you'll see pictures of him wearing this, what we would call a trench coat, you know? You've seen those pictures? Like, the sadhus didn't dress that way. he was, and he said, we should be more intelligent than the most intelligent. We should dress better than the best dressed. We should just be better in every level. So he basically broke open that whole stereotype of renunciation and taught that this is real renunciation, because now you're renouncing things that you would like to renounce and you're using them. That's a higher form of renunciation. And he was very critical of Gaudiya Math because a lot of the members were attached to their renunciation and they didn't get it. And he saw that Prabhupada understood that principle, utilizing everything, and he would say, Abhai Babu has understood why you're not understanding like him. And that can kind of backfire if you don't know how to utilize everything, because then you will utilize the temple for sense gratification and just for earning money and so forth. Somebody else has the mic? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, just to add to Adidev Prabhu's statement that at that exhibition, that what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj arranged, it's described that it covered 1 square mile and
wow.
one square mile with so many activities, and 1 million people attended.
Wow.
That festival.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Adiba, also he provided shoes for Parikrama, which was, everybody was in bare feet, and he knew that wasn't going to work. So he provided shoes, he provided tea, made all kinds
of... general people or his
all own? Kinds of arrangements on the Parikrama so anybody could do it.
Oh, okay.
And this morning I was reading in the Bhakti Bhai Baba book that he was discouraged because people weren't interested to hear.
Yeah.
And in his discouragement and disgust, everybody appeared to him, Panchatattva, Bhakti Vinod, and everybody appeared to him and said, don't worry, Saraswati. Don't, because he was saying, I have no means, I have no friends, I have no money, I have no facility, how can I preach? They don't want to hear it. And then that's when that verse, the CC verse, blew in front of him that said, preach the holy name. And that's when he had that revelation from his father, and everybody was there saying, don't worry, Saraswati, this will be no problem.
Do you know, I don't know if you know this, but he was such a good preacher that he was attracting the best of the younger generation. So much so that Mahatma Gandhi went to meet him and said, we need these people for our independence movement, and they're all coming to you. The British government also sent spies, because their spies that they sent were becoming devotees. So they'd send spies, they'd hear him speak, you know, to analyze what he's doing, and they'd become devotees. That was it was such an effect. He was so intelligent. It's like he was just convinced. All the intelligent people. Yes?
I wasn't, just to add to what Divangar Prabhu said, didn't he offer some workers, some beedis so they could?
Yeah.
I wanted
he was rolling the beedis, apparently, for the workers.
I wanted to say that, that he gave the instruction that if you ever get money, print books.
Yeah.
One of the.
So I think perhaps maybe that's our most obvious connection to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is books. And what I find valuable for us is Prabhupada said most of the things he introduced at ISKCON he learned from his father, but this book distribution specifically he learned from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And Prabhupada said that, you know the famous story, better we sell the marble and print books. And he told Prabhupada, you know, if you ever get money, print books. So Prabhupada said, I noted his emphasis on book distribution. But you could see in Prabhupada's life, as a disciple, he noted everything which was important that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did, like the GBC, And when you read the Bhaktivedanta by Baba, you see that everything going on in ISKCON perfectly reflects everything Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did. The Prabhupada just like, he understood it all. So really what we have in ISKCON is like kind of Gaudiya Math almost. Prabhupada in his own version specifically for us, but all the fundamentals are there. And one time the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, you know, we can't understand Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's books. And Prabhupada said, he wrote his books for me and I wrote my books for you. So, in other words, I will explain what he explains. So, Prabhupada, one of our most prominent relationships with Bhaktisiddhanta is that he created Srila Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada implemented everything that Bhaktisiddhanta was doing for preaching perfectly, and then adapted it to the West. And book distribution, of course, dioramas, those are two of the main things that we got from him. But in general, you know, what is the greatest gift Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave ISKCON? Srila Prabhupada. He created a Srila Prabhupada. Yes. Thank you. Yes, Dharmaraj.
Also, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was the first one to start the Braj Mandal Parakram.
Okay.
He and four of his disciples. I don't remember what year that was, but that's what is recorded.
Yeah, his mission started in 1918, so probably early on. Was it 29? That was the first one?
Yeah, I have a whole list
of years. Oh, 29. Oh, okay. Yeah, Navadvipa program. Yeah. Yes.
Very well. I had just moved into the temple, and it was his appearance day, and we were still sleeping. And then I heard tree hit on the wall like this, and I jump up. You know, everybody else was sleeping, and I wake them up, and we hustle for Mangalati. So I was really impressed. I said, wow, how was that? There was nobody outside or anything really, but I just heard the street. So, you know, up to today, I'm really impressed about that.
Hare Krishna. Well, speaking about not sleeping or getting up early, 9 years before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta began his mission, he took a vow to chant. What was it, a billion names? Anyway, it took 9 years at 192 rounds a day. And he did that on the banks of the Ganga. And that spot is no longer there, but there's a temple. And that temple has the deities he chanted in front. Where's that temple in Nidoi? I think it's a place in Mayapur called Nidoi, and there's a temple there, and it has the deities he chanted in front of. Because the temple was, as far as I understand, it was where he chanted, was flooded. But 192 rounds takes, you know, close to 20, 22 hours. And it is said that even while he was chanting that 192, he was still had seva and did manage to take care of other business. So, if you don't have time to chant 16 rounds because you think you're too busy, you can remember this story. Srila Prabhupada would often say that advancement in spiritual life, one way you calculate it is by how much eating, sleeping, mating, and defending you have given up. So obviously that inspiration was coming from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And Srila Prabhupada, at a certain point, maybe it was around 1976, he wasn't sleeping much. He couldn't sleep. His digestion was not good. He could hardly eat. And his personal servant or his secretary told me that one night Srila Prabhupada was awake. His secretary was also awake. And he went saw the light on, so I went into his room. He said, oh, you're also awake. And the secretary said, I have insomnia, I can't sleep. And Prabhupada said, I must have insomnia also because I can't sleep. And his secretary said, no, you have Krishna Prema, which is why you can't sleep. And then Prabhupada told him, he said, you know, I always had this desire to be able to give up eating, sleeping, and mating, and defending. And he said, now I can hardly eat. Now I can hardly sleep. No question of mating, no question of defending. And then Prabhupada said, I guess I'm liberated. So that was a strong desire of Srila Prabhupada, that level of renunciation. And he definitely transmitted to us that austerity is important. Yes?
I think it's important to complete that description of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta with his vow to chant 1 billion names, and he didn't even take time to fix the roof. I think he was chanting under a big umbrella, with one hand holding the umbrella. But isn't it that he actually renounced that vow when he was requested to help his father and even learn how to work the printing press for publishing books?
I'm not sure. Does anybody know? I never read that.
The question is that, is it true or not? I think it is, that when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was taking that extensive vow, chanting 1 billion names, he allowed himself to he allowed that to get cut off when I don't know exactly who approached him, but he was told that his father needs his help. And instead of sitting and chanting 1 billion names, better learn how to work the printing press.
Huh. Anybody heard that story? You know? I've never heard that story. Prangovini, have you heard that? No.
Well, I heard one story on that.
But I could mention an interesting fact about the printing press, since you mentioned the printing press. The printing press was so important for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that he did an installation ceremony for all the printing presses. They had an installation ceremony because it was like, for him, like a deity, you know, worshipable, printing the word. Shabda Brahman, yes.
I was thinking a few things. I think sometime, like, how am I grateful to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? So there are many things, but I'll just mention a few things that always I think sometime. One thing is Guru Parampara. There was no Guru Parampara list before Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur in a written format.
Okay.
I did a lot of research to find out. Yes. He's the one who put it together. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur loved it. Jagannath Das Babaji also loved it. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji loved it. So anybody, even opposition the Babajis, they also have to accept, even though they oppose, but I have evidence that they actually agreed and liked it. So we are grateful for that.
What was the position of the Bhagavad Sampradaya at that point? Was it not known or just not accepted or both? No, the siksha line that he drew out, was that not even, was it only the diksha line that was accepted at that point? And he proved that the siksha line is also valid?
The siksha line, we have siksha line actually, to be honestly.
Yeah.
But as Prabhupada's Godfather Sridhar Maharaj says, you have to stay alive to breathe. If your nose is stuffy and you cannot breathe, should you die or you should breathe through the mouth? So wherever this 10 principle of Mahaprabhu's teaching came through, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur took their name and he found they are the real parampara.
Yes.
Baladev Vidyabhushan Thakur actually is not directly connected in our parampara in one sense, physical proximity.
Yeah.
But his teaching is 100% aligned with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others.
Yes.
So we accept our parampara as 100% perfect and pure.
Yes.
So that's one thing. Another thing also every day I think when, I mean, we chant Gaur Gayatri Mantra. There was no Gaur Gayatri Mantra before Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur in our line. We are eternally grateful. And he was challenged in Barakra. Barakra is a place in Navadvip where Madhusudan Sarvabhoma, his last name, he was like head of the whole Vaishnava, so-called Vaishnava culture at that time. And Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, at that time he was Bimala Prasad. He went there and he established Gaur Gayatri and he was challenged so heavily. And of course those days there is no database or internet, so everybody has to carry their books in order to, if you want to challenge. But he was so sharp. He said, I got this Gaur Gayatri, and he quoted the verse from Atharva Veda, Chaitanya Upanishad, text 272. I tried to remember just in case somebody challenged me. And he quoted the verse and he explained how this Gaur Gayatri will speed up our connection to Radha Krishna through Mahaprabhu faster than any other process before. So if they don't accept Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, they will not get it quick. I mean, I'm not
Can
trying
you
to
say that again? It will speed up our connection to Mahaprabhu?
To Radha Krishna to through Radha. Mahaprabhu.
Faster?
And he back up with this. Jatha jatha gaura padara vinde vindeta bhakti kritapunna rashi tatha tatha sarpati ridhi akasmat radha padambuja sudambu rashi. You will experience Radha Krishna's presence in your heart if you accept Mahaprabhu this way. Mm-hmm. And he really did. But everybody was quiet because nobody could defeat. Mm-hmm. But one person in the back clapped and started dancing. That was Gaur Kishudas
Baba.
So when they say that, well, he did not get the Gaur Gayatri from his guru. No, his guru was there and he embraced. It was the first time, one time we heard that the guru actually embraced the disciple and he gave all his empowerment.
Yes.
So there's we should be grateful always from that angle. Another one is, well, there are many, but another one is Jamaraj, the superintendent of death. You know that Ram Goti Prabhu story. It's a very fascinating story that who took initiation from Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur in 19...
Yeah, that's an amazing story.
Yeah, you can tell.
No. Okay. Go ahead.
1931, his family came from his Madnapur district and says, according to his chart, he has to marry and he has to go through this. Nobody can change. This is what the parents brought, the astrologer and everything. Not knowing Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur himself is an astrologer. So then Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur looked at the chart and he says, interesting, all this. Wonderful. He said, yes, you do have serious issues that you will have to go back and get married and get family life and everything. So there's a two story on this. There's another devotee, same time, also left. So in the when he left, he did not maintain spiritual life in a good strength.
Eventually, he left and got married?
He only also got married. I don't know if we all and understand.
And he committed sinful activities.
Yeah, I don't know if you all understand. Bengali culture is like an American loves ice cream and cake. Ice cream and cake, I mean not for the devotee, but in general, ice cream and cake is like celebrating any festival, birthday or anything without that is difficult. Bengali culture is like a fish. It may not make sense to all of you,
right.
But that's what it is, fish. Fish is like everything, from beginning of your breakfast till your dinner. Fish. Till today, I mean, it's a big deal. So that's why Prabhupada says one Bengali destroyed the culture and another Bengali, he didn't say his name, Prabhupada said another Bengali will revive. And I thought about it, what Prabhupada is saying, but he did not mention his name. Because when Ramakrishna, their whole philosophy is which fish you should not eat, which fish one time to eat. This is a teaching of sannyasi. I was like, what a horrible. But I never, you know, I always respected that, but I lost that respect. Anyway, back to that. When he went back to his village, and eventually he got married, and his wife was 100% Shakta, don't believe about vegetarian or prasad or anything. So eventually she pulled him down, and he started eating, broke all the regulative principles.
He was initiated by Bhaktisiddhanta?
Yes, yes, yes. And he had to speed up the story, just at the end of his life, he passed away. His son, however, he was very aware of his father's, his childhood life, he got a good association from his father. And he remembered Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's name and chanting Hare Krishna, all these things. So when he was working in Guwahati, capital of that state. So when his father passed away, they sent a message to the oldest son who will, in the cremation, in Hindu culture, the oldest son has to put the fire on the head side and then the feet side. Anyway, whole ritual is there. So by the time he come back to the village where his father passed away, it took about 12 hours, one way and 12 hours other way. So then all of a sudden, as he came and he evoked his childhood pastime with his father, and he started crying. He said, "You cannot die. You're supposed to chant Hare Krishna. You told me when I was a little kid for years, you should not live. And you're supposed to think of Radha Krishna. But the way you died, it is horrible." And he was crying, crying, crying. He does not want to put the fire. And then all of a sudden, they saw the dead body came back to life. Put all the wood. You know how they put, like, I don't know how to explain. This is how you put the wood. And then you put the dead body, and then put another stick of wood, and then you put the fire underneath. They still do in Jagannath Puri.
Get to the essence of the story. So he then came back to life, and then...
But it was 24 hours.
Wow.
So there was hundreds of people, villagers came, but then all of a sudden they saw this dead body came, 50% run away. They thought it was like ghost. So then anyway, eventually when he came back, he told his son, he said, "Take me to Guwahati, Gauriamath. I don't want to go home or anywhere." And that's where he went. Every day he would cry. He lived for 11 years, and he wrote. And he told the story what happened. He was in a big line to hell. He didn't even know where it is. And he asked for some water. He was extremely thirsty. And they dragged him to drink some water where the blood and pus and stool are like... He said, "How can he drink?" He said, "That's all the water is here in hell." So then finally he came to the line, and then he noticed that Jamaraj sits in a corner, and he has the 12 board member. I'm putting into English. Board member, and then they all judge, and Jamaraj just watches how they do their operation. When time came for him in the line, Jamaraj got up from the chair, and he came in front of him. He said, "Who is Prabhupada? Why did you break Prabhupada's law?" He got so shocked, he just woke up, "Prabhupada, Prabhupada, my guru." He said, "Go back and don't forget to follow him."
Hare Krishna.
That's why he
Hare Krishna. So, we're all fasting this morning, right? So we can stay here forever. I just wanted to say two things which I didn't have time to say, which I think are significant. Thank you for that story, it's amazing. The story, maybe many of you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was taking darshan of the deities from a distance. And he took his glasses off, which seems strange because it was difficult to see. And his disciples said, "Guru Maharaj, don't you want to put your glasses on, or why did you take them off?" And he said, "We are not meant to see the deity, but the deity is meant to see us. We are meant to be enjoyed by the deity. We are not the enjoyers." So this was a theme. We're not enjoyers of the holy name. We're not enjoyers of anything. We're meant to be enjoyed. And if you study his teachings, you see this come up in many places. It's very significant. The other thing is his teachings on humility. Many, many, many teachings. And also through his own example. And he taught a lot through examples. So sometimes something would happen, he'd make some arrangement, and everybody would get the lesson through an arrangement he made. But one time, the brahmacharis were complaining that they had brahmacharis not chanting his rounds. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, well, is he doing service all day? And they said, yes, but he doesn't chant his rounds. And so Bhaktisiddhanta, modeling behavior which he would like them to emulate, said, well, if I wasn't chanting my rounds, I wouldn't be able to do service all day. But this devotee has so much bhakti, his bhakti is overflowing. He's so wealthy, he doesn't need to create more wealth. And he can chant, he can serve all day even though he's not chanting. So just like, shoo, spun it around completely. I mean, there are many stories like that about demonstrating humility. There's one devotee, all bad qualities. Everyone's criticizing him. And Bhaktisiddhanta's there and he hears it and he goes, and he said, can't you say anything nice about him? And they were all silent and he said, you know, I've seen that he washes his clothes very nicely and he keeps his room clean. But this devotee, everyone hated, everyone fought with. And that, so he would teach that way. Yes.
Can I just say one pastime? Last year, Krishna Abhishek Prabhu said this one pastime about Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. In the Gaudiya Math, there was a devotee who, during Ekadasi, he was just taking rest. He wasn't doing any service, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was asking to bring that devotee, and he asked, you know, the devotee said, I'm just tired on Ekadasi days. I can't do anything, so I just rest and chant my rounds. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj went straight to the kitchen, cooked some khichdi, brought it to the devotee, and had him eat it. And the devotee said, but I'm going to get offenses. He says, I will take your offenses, but you take this, have the energy, and go distribute the books. That is much more important.
How do you go? Thank you very much.
You should have Prabhupada said that to Prabhupada about that story. He didn't give the whole details, but Prabhupada said
that. Yeah. Okay, I think we should end now. Seven more hours. We've only gone 1 hour. We have six left. Yeah. I'm getting, yeah. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai, Gopal Premanandi.